Helping small business grow is my passion. Hi, I'm Mark Boris, and I want to share that passion with you with my podcast, The Mentor. If you're into business, listen now on Podcast One as I get the stories from those just starting out and those on the verge of a major turning point. Join me for The Mentor, and I might just help your business grow as well. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Don't miss a minute of ruined dits for breakfast on our catch-up.
For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella.
They're closer than you think.
Oh, Roo, special day today because the Trots are coming back to Wavell. That's what happened in the 70s,
yeah.
Roo.
Do you get a show back when you go to the Trots?
No, you don't.
Cross
no.
between the Adelaide show and the Trots?
No,
I don't
no,
know.
Just oh. the Trots.
Hopefully you need a show bag to take your cash out after you back a few winners there tonight.
Hey, Roo, I hope we fill the place tonight. It'll be fantastic down there to get a massive crowd.
They're talking 10 or 15,000, it's.
Yeah, I hope so. So in case you haven't caught up with it, Harness Racing returns to Wavell tonight. Tickets are available at the gates. I'd get there early to avoid disappointment. So.
Yes, no, it'll be a great night, and let's hope it's the start of something more permanent. Hopefully, that would be fantastic.
Well, as you keep saying, look what Adelaide Oval's done for football.
Yep,
and Wavell could do that for the Trots.
Yep, absolutely. It's a no-brainer from where I stand. If you can do some stuff, but we'll chat to someone from the Trots a little bit later on. We've got a huge show. We've got the week that was. We've got Bruce McAvaney to talk about the Cox Plate and whether Winx is in the same bracket as Farlap. I've heard a little rumour that Bruce thinks that Farlap wouldn't even have beaten Winx.
Really? Gee, that's a big statement.
I've never heard that in my lifetime, that's what Bruce
said. Controversial dog breeds. This comes up from time to time, but you know, a couple of days ago, a woman, I think it was in New South Wales, lost her life at the hands or at the mouth of her own dog. Her own dog turned on her and killed her. Why? It just raises the question, why do people have those sorts of dogs?
Like super aggressive dogs?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they feel like they need a dog to be tough. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. I want to get to that later on.
Or for some security, but you'd wonder why we should allow that to happen, I think.
All right, it's our special 70 show today, but in the meantime, you know it's Friday, right?
Beautiful.
Love Fridays.
Thank God it's
beautiful. That'll get you in the mood. Hey, Roo. And by the way, as it being a 70s show, we're going to play some 70s songs.
We did the 40s at the start of the show yesterday.
Don't
with your
be
mate.
Disrespectful. Fats Domino. It was important that we recognised his life. Come on. All right. Now, you remember earlier in the week, George Young passed away. All right. This is him right now.
You should have a funeral directed. Dits or something.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
What is making news around the place, Roo? Well, can I just tell you, I'll get my lounge room back on Wednesdays and Thursday nights now because the grand final, real grand final, took place last night. Not Richmond and Adelaide.
No.
I mean, more important than that.
Yeah.
Bachelorette.
Was it two-sided, was it?
Yeah. That's right. There were two contestants. Yeah. And similar to the Richmond Adelaide, one of them broke down crying. Sophie Monk, this is who she picked.
So I have two really important things to tell you. I'm so sorry I misjudged you when I first met you. And the second thing is, I'm in love with you.
You love me.
So in love with you.
I love you so much.
Now, that's the guy she picked. Now, I don't even know his name, to be honest, but I'm sure Fred. Kate could tell him. Stu. Alice just told me. So Stu got up. Yeah. Now, how funny is this? At the start of the show, she said, I want a down-to-earth Aussie guy, I want to get married, and I want to have kids. And what she ended up picking was a millionaire hotel tycoon who is still married and has had a vasectomy.
Oh, no. No, that can't be
right.
True.
He's loaded.
Sophie.
He's loaded, this bloke. And he's got four kids already.
We'll have to use some of his dough to untie the knot. Dude.
Yeah, they're going to have to find both ends and put it back together.
You can do that these days,
can
you?
Yeah, you can reverse them. Yeah.
Oh, how funny is that?
The other bloke, who everyone hated apparently, Jared, he thought he was he'd already written his speech. He was odds on, he thought. Here he is. She broke the news.
Jared, in my head, you're everything I've been looking for. Absolutely everything. But my heart belongs to someone else.
It's hard.
adore you, you know that. Mm.
Now you got me tearing up.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Gogglebox will be funny watching with people watching this episode.
It reminds me of something that made you tear up recently.
Right? What?
Me!
Oh, but this is real.
Don't, I've heard enough because I'll start crying.
No, no, no. Hang on, wait.
What? What?
Oh, that was a crunch bit there when he just couldn't quite decipher what he was talking about. That Rocky bit there, which is probably most of his acting.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. That was
the Bachelorette.
It seems to have gone for 5 years at my house.
Yeah,
God,
and you seem to be watching every episode.
No, no, no.
Again, once again.
I haven't seen any of it.
Oh, well, how come you, mate, you usually know their names?
No, I've read about it this morning. Alice just told me the names then. What did one of your kids say about Sophie Monk?
One of the youngsters, I can't even remember who it was, about a month ago.
Well, is that
started.
Maddie? It's pretty hard.
Yeah, said... how come she sounds like a bloke? spot
isn't,
on, though.
Isn't it just real love, though? Isn't
yeah,
it?
No, it is. It's, hey? It's real love.
A millionaire hotel owner.
Yeah.
What, who would have thought?
No, nah, you wouldn't have picked that in a million years.
No.
Mobile phone users while driving, people are just not getting the message. The number of people getting cautioned is going up. It's not going down.
Well, what are we going to do about this, Roo? You know, on one hand, if I came to you and said, oh, gee, I got fined $1,000 for using my phone, but I think that might be the only answer. We have to actually get really tough on this. Roo, people have been killed as a result
of it. Well, one in three of the fatal accidents have attributed to people being totally distracted while they're driving, like basically not watching.
But again, let's relate it to what we talked about the other day. People that are just walking along the footpath using them.
Yep.
We've become so addicted that we cannot wait.
Yep.
5 minutes until we're in a safer place to actually read the message or look at what we're... It's an addiction. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is an addiction, Dits. There's no doubt about it. People are addicted and they get a spare moment in their lives and they use it as an opportunity to catch up on what's happening in the world
of
social media.
I understand. Once you get on the bus or the tram to head home, sure, get on it for 20 minutes and check everything, but
absolutely
not driving a car or walking. What about the ones you see in the city on a push bike?
Well, that should
riding
be,
along
that,
checking
that's
their messages.
Be illegal as well, and I can see that. That's basically they'll end up doing what I did and just ride straight into a steel pole or straight into the back of a car or something.
Yeah.
Doing that, so it's absolutely dangerous. So something's got to change. Yep. I don't know how they're going to do it, Dits, but it has to happen.
All right. Just finally, High Court decision today about our politicians. This is the dual citizenship.
So how
situation.
Many is there? There's heaps.
Six
or eight.
Yeah.
Although Nick
pulled out. But I don't know whether they still have to make a judgment on him or not. I don't know. But
Barnaby Joyce is probably the biggest.
Yes, because he's Deputy Prime Minister.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll find out the decision today.
What's your prediction?
I think the fact that Nick Xenophon jumped, and he's a lawyer, makes me think that there was something in that. What do you reckon?
No, I've got no idea, to be honest. I'll wait and see, but interesting stuff.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, I am envious. You're off to Moonee Valley tomorrow.
Yes, I am. I'm actually heading over there today just to get myself set up and feel comfortable and might just bob out to the races tonight just to I don't want to know what TV to look on. I want to know where Bruce is going to come running through as well so I can give him a high five when Winks gets up.
Well, what about what Winks is doing for the nation and for racing? It is chock-a-block tomorrow. You cannot get a ticket in
Sold out everywhere.
No, let's go to Channel 7's Bruce McAvaney. Bruce, welcome.
You too, Dits and Roo. Hey, Roo, that was a moment last year. I remember the first bloke I saw Dits when I dashed out to talk to Chris Waller and Huey Bowman was Roo. So,
yeah.
And he was pretty excited.
Bruce, this horse is something special. I know I'm stating the obvious here, but we're talking about a possible third in a row in the Cox Plate tomorrow, which equals Kingston Town. People are already suggesting it should go for a fourth.
Well, you know, I remember we've had this discussion every year, haven't we, Roo, where, you know, could she be as good as Kingston Town? And, you know, when she won her first, you thought, well, God, could she get two? And after the two, we kept thinking about this one. And look, you're right. I mean, it seems a formality. There's nothing in sport that's a formality, but it's going to be hard to see her being beaten tomorrow. And then if she does that, then I think the two things we'll be asking probably about are, do you go to Royal Ascot or do you come back and try and win a fourth Cox Plate? As well as, are you going to Flemington in 2 weeks' time? This is probably the first horse in my lifetime that's got a realistic chance of maybe attempting four Cox Plates.
Bruce, I watched you earlier in the week on another interview, and you either said that Farlap wouldn't have beaten Winks or Winks is better than Farlap. What did you actually say?
I said he wouldn't have beaten her. And what I meant by that was I wouldn't be confident that he would beat her. Now, how would I know? I never saw Farlap race. He never lost a race between 1,800 metres and up to 2 miles. So he was a freak. He lost a couple of Melbourne Cups. But I haven't seen anyone as dominant as her. And when you think about it, she can win from 1,300 to 22. Now, he had a bit longer range, but she's been knocked over. She's broken race records. She's won by the greatest winning margin. And when she broke the Cox Plate record 2 years ago, she beat Criterion and Highland Reel by 5 lengths. Now, Highland Reel's won $11 million in prize money. He's one of the great horses of the world. All I'm getting at is that sometimes we live in the past. Farlap's always been the pinnacle, probably always will. But honestly, I wouldn't back him to beat her. I wouldn't back any horse that's ever lived to beat her at Moonee Valley in a Cox Plate if she runs as well as she did last year.
Bruce, when Black Caviar went to Royal Ascot, our hearts were in our mouths, and we found out later that maybe the horse might have been injured, but it got up. And yeah, it was injured, but it managed to just get up. If Winks was to go to Royal Ascot, and I'm asking you because I know you sort of study all of these things, but have you looked at times and things like that? Does Winks sort of run those horses off their feet as well? Like, I wouldn't like to see Winks go to Royal Ascot and get done, I guess is what I'm saying.
Probably three races she could go for, Chris, and one of them's over 6 furlongs, 1,200, and that's a realistic opportunity. The other two are probably more likely, one over 1,600 and one over 2,000 metres. Now, there's a filly in England at the moment called Enable, who won the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. She's only been beaten once, and they say she's the best they've had for many, many years. And she's the horse that would take Winks on, and honestly, it would stop the world if those two horses get together. So if Winks could transfer her Australian form to Royal Ascot, I think she'd win.
Bruce, I was with some very well-known racing identities in Adelaide the other day, and they were adamant that Wink should be retired straight after this Cox Plate.
Why would you do that if she's at her absolute top still and still with three or four, you know, maybe preparations in front of her? She's been lightly raced. She only has three or four runs most preps. I wouldn't agree with that. Yeah. I think there's still more. I think there's another chapter to be written. But Chris Waller will know, and I think with her attitude in the stable, whether she's eating, whether she goes sour, but I would have thought she could keep going.
Bruce, what about the romantic side of all of this? And I mentioned Black Caviar. When Black Caviar came to Morfordville, I mean, the place was
30,000
packed. 30,000 at Morfordville. Yeah. We haven't seen that for decades. And then, as I mentioned, tomorrow, sold out at Moonee Valley. What these horses can do for Australia, I mean, we just fall in love with them, don't we?
They make us feel better, Dits. You know, they do. They lift us to a level that, you know, that only maybe special birthdays or other things, very rare things, can do for us. And we all get involved. It's collegiate. It's like the whole nation is on her back, and we're all invested, you know, whether you've got money on her or not. Black Caviar did it. I think the Diva did it in her last season.
Bruce, you are now the trainer of Winks, okay? And you've won. You win tomorrow, so you've won your third Cox Plate, and the horse is fitting well, and you're going to have another preparation. Would you go overseas? Would you try and win your fourth Cox Plate, or would you try and win your first Melbourne Cup?
Look, she can't go to the Melbourne Cup this year because she's not nominated.
Year after.
Yeah, look, they won't. I would go to the Melbourne Cup. Chris won't because they don't do it these days. Because if she won a Melbourne Cup, then
handicap
I think she'd go past everyone. Well, there'd be a limit. She'd get 58. She'd still win it. But look, I'm not a horse trainer, and that's a romantic part of me because I still feel that the greatest legends of Australian racing generally are horses that have won the Melbourne Cup.
Exactly.
And I think that would add an extra string to her bow. But in a realistic sense, no, I'd take her to Royal Ascot. And then hopefully you'd be able to bring her back and attempt a fourth Cox Plate. That would be tricky, but it is doable.
Bruce, I can feel the passion in your voice. It's going to be a big, big day tomorrow. And we look forward to seeing you on Channel 7 all day.
I reckon Roo and I will be the first in the gate tomorrow.
Look forward to seeing you, Bruce.
Get on you, Bruce. Well done.
See you, guys. All the best.
Bye-bye. Bruce McAvaney, Channel 7's coverage tomorrow.
What a big day it is.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Now I'm up
Put
and about,
Put your shirt back
Roo.
On,
Now
Put
I'm
your
up
shirt
and
back
about.
On.
How good was that? Roo, time for the highlights of the week. Here it is, the week that was.
Welcome aboard. The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Number five, we learnt about a strange new injury that's on the increase.
middle-aged men requiring treatment for sex injuries has quadrupled.
Well, they're saying, in fact, it's because people are more honest about how they got injured instead of blaming it on fishing or...
Fishing.
Remind me not to go fishing with Roo.
Now, we're bringing Alice the Wag into this conversation right now. Alice, what can you add to this?
I have a cousin who is a nurse, and she once had a girl come in with a carrot stuck up her... And the girl said, it happened gardening.
Lucky she wasn't in the pumpkin patch. Number four. Well, footy is wrapped up.
In footy season, I just devote myself to footy and footy shows. Footy.
And Roo is trying to forget about the grand final with a few movie nights at the Rusciutto household.
Started watching a couple of movies lately.
Right. Word has filtered through that you're a blubbering mess last night. What's going on?
Don't you cry in movies. What about Rocky?
We got more to do.
That was
a very, very sad moment in the Rocky series.
His acting made me cry.
But we learnt about the saddest show that Roo has ever watched.
There was another show on TV that made men cry.
And it's been 37 long years since they celebrated. And the Tigers have done it. The Tigers have done it.
Oh, that's cruel, dude. That's cruel.
Somebody's crying. Number three. Roo and Dit's angels were in...
Good morning, Roo and Dit.
...and in an enthralling display of hard-hitting journalism. We learnt about the serious topic of butt undies.
Butt undies?
My mum and I bought butt undies from the US where they're like a padded bra but for your butt.
I suppose they have they used to call them chicken fillets.
It's the equivalent of the chicken fillet.
Announcement. What else?
My wife was dancing one night and hers flew out across the dance floor. No, it did.
Did the chicken dance?
Someone came and picked it up and handed it back to her. Check out the chicken. Your left boob just went across the dance floor.
You must have really been having a crack if the chicken fillets out.
We were going for it.
Number two, we learn about some strange jobs that people do.
Who would decide to work with poo? Because, you know, sometimes you have to give a sample.
Yeah, I had to take it away.
Yep. You had to do it, and they test it. You could be a brain surgeon or you could be a heart specialist. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll work with people's feces.
I'm going to be a poo sampler. It's a shit job, Dit. Someone's got to do it.
Bill sent this in of paint namers. So you're working at Dulux or one of those companies, British Paints.
Colours.
He sent these in. Water Worn is a colour. Endless Dusk. Bright Zenith. Moonlight. And then the list goes on and on and on. Who names these bloody paints? And that's your job.
Yeah, you're a wacko if you're doing that.
Oh, hang on. That's the wacko phone ringing.
Blokes run through. Michael from Elizabeth Park. Good morning, Michael.
How you going, boys?
What do you do, Michael?
Oh, I work at Dulux Paint.
You don't name them, do you?
Yeah, we do get called into an office and brainstorm and come up with colour names for the new colour range.
All right, give us your best. What have you come up with?
For black, we came up with Eclipse the other day. There's one.
Eclipse?
very rare.
I like it. That's
very
good.
Rare. Total eclipse
of the heart. From this next question, you can tell how much respect Dits has for paint namers.
What sort of training do you do for this garbage?
None. Yeah.
Number one, the guys were talking about times when you've really put your foot in it, and we learn about the time Roo had a truck accident.
We were calling the footy one day.
I'm very embarrassed.
Do you want to tell the story?
No, you do it fantastic.
Right. You know, after the game?
You do it quite often.
Producer says in our ear, we're going down to the Crows rooms and we're going to talk to Truck. We're going to talk to Ben Rutten.
Oh,
Roo goes, no, don't get him on. He's as boring as batshit. Next minute we hear.
Oh, no.
he was already on cans. He was already ready to go.
Biggles goes,
Truck's here, Roo.
And I went, oh, no.
Listen here as Roo tries to explain himself. Actually sounds a bit like a truck reversing.
Yeah. Now, there are some players who give a little bit more interviews than others. Trucks seem to play straight down the line a little bit. Just the way he played his footy.
The top five things we've learned on Roo and Dits this week.
G'day, Mr. and Mrs. Rutten out there. I do love you, sir. I really do.
That is the truck reversing. Hey, Roo, ring now. 133353.
Yeah, for the pressure test, you can win $1,000 cash, and we all need that leading into the weekend.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point! Pressure point!
Ruin Dids, $1,000 pressure test.
I can't remember last time we gave away $1,000, Ruin.
Well, hopefully you will be able to very, very soon, Ditch. Let's go to Flinders Park. G'day, Tom.
How are you?
Very well, buddy. What are you up to today?
Well, my mate just picked me up. We're going to go to work and have a coffee first.
Oh, jeez, you just snuck through. You really, we shouldn't even let you through.
Where are you going for a coffee, Tom?
On the run.
On the run.
Apparently they do good. I haven't had one. They reckon it's very good there.
If you don't make good coffee these days, Ditch, you just
So where do you work, Tom?
Yeah, I'm a panel beater.
Oh, panel beater. Well done. All right.
Is it a myth that you get more work after it rains, or is it true?
Nah, it's better when it's hot.
When
it's hot. Why is that? Because people are out
driving.
People
out about. Driving beaches, cafes.
More
cars on the road.
Right.
All right, Tom. Now, you're the right age group for this morning. We're doing a special 70s program this morning to celebrate the trots back at Waverley.
And we'll be the judge here. It's pretty open.
Yes, it is an open sort of topic. Roo, you go with it.
Okay. Tom, give us 10 things that have anything to do with the 70s.
Music. Cars.
No.
Keep going.
70s.
Geez. Like Footy Park was built.
Clothes.
Nah, bit more pointy.
Flares.
Yeah, that's it.
Hairstyle.
Yeah. TV
fashion.
Shows.
Yeah.
Moustache.
Border music. Push bike. Motorbike.
All right, time's up. Let's
go to the
adjudicator. It's a bit of a tough one.
Well, I reckon.
Tom's bagging us.
Correct.
Four correct. Sorry about that,
Tommy. It was a bit of a tough one for you.
Yeah, all right. What could have he said, Ruth?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, Footy Park being built, Cyclone Tracy, flares, big hair.
BGs.
Skyhooks, Waverley Trots.
Sherbet.
Hippies.
Cox Foys.
Who?
Cox Foys, department store in the city.
Right, okay.
Never heard of Cox Foys.
No.
Miller Anderson's.
No,
department stores
right,
in the
right.
city.
I was only born in
75.
Yeah,
but I'm older than you.
That's right.
That's right. So Elvis Presley was big in the 70s.
Elvis.
Any of those sorts of things. That's what we were after.
Was Fat Domino's big then? Or was he finished?
Do not be disrespectful to Fat Domino, please. You're winding me up now.
Those stats you rolled out yesterday were amazing, Dits, about Fats.
Mm.
40 number one hits.
Oh, well, I might have been right, a bit out there. 40 top 40 hits he had.
Oh, hang on.
What?
What?
40
you
top.
Said yesterday 40 number one hits. What do you say? What have you changed? What have you changed it to now?
I was
40 top 40 hits.
Yeah. In fact, it might have been 30.
No. You are extremely misleading, Dids. You know that.
Whether
it's
always
the weather or music, it doesn't matter. You'll mislead the audience.
Dad always just said, if you sound convincing, they'll believe you.
Mm.
So you go hard.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
I actually did a bit of research on that and found out that you were wrong too. I was about to expose you. You know that. I had a few people ring and said, Fats Domino wasn't actually that good.
Hang on.
He didn't have 40 number ones. He did not even have one number one.
No, he didn't actually.
That's a long way from 40.
Well, I knew zero. You wouldn't know.
Zero is a long way from 40. There's a fair few numbers in between.
Yeah, but you're gullible. I can tell you anything.
Yeah, about Fats Domino.
Yeah. He sold, don't say he was no good, 65 million records. That's good.
I'm going to check that bloody stat.
Well, you check it.
Probably 65 records.
Now, Tom, we're sending you off to see
Tom's gone.
Roger Waters.
He's already fixed the car.
He's a bit angry, Tom. Didn't like the topic.
No.
A double to see Roger Waters at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre, Feb 16 next year, okay? And as I've said before, you're having trouble sleeping. Buy a couple of tickets to Roger Waters.
No.
It's 7:12.
You can't say that. You're promoting his buddy.
Sorry.
Show this.
He's not listening. In a moment, people that have got dodgy dog breeds.
Oh, you're going to have a go at someone else
now,
are you?
Not happy about this. Ruined it. It's thanks to Southern Volkswagen.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my Podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, you read an interesting article in the paper this morning about this young girl.
It's almost unbelievable, really. A Rhodes Scholar, Dits. A Rhodes Scholar's come from Broken Hill.
Oh, get out. You kidding?
Broken Hill.
Broken Hill. No way.
We used to people like Tex coming from Broken Hill.
A Rhodes Scholar from
A Broken long way from a Rhodes Scholar, Tex.
You read that right?
Yeah, I think I have. Yeah, all it's right. A young lady called Claudia Paul. She's Dr. Paul. She's 24.
Wow.
She's just the third Indigenous Australian to become a Rhodes Scholar.
Ah, good on her.
And I would say the first from Broken Hill.
Well, yeah. Don't know. Hey, yeah, we got a call coming in. Hello, good morning.
Good day, boys.
Who's that?
That's Tex.
Tex, hey, aren't Tex. You in the Maldives?
How are you, Tex?
Yeah, just heard what you're saying.
Oh, all right.
One for all.
Right.
Ever been out with Claudia Paul?
Right. What would you like to say, Tex?
You're a poet and you didn't even know it, Tex.
Oh, she wasn't that bright.
She wasn't that bright?
Right.
What do you know about her?
Well, I used to sit next to her and, you know, she used to copy my answer. Right,
where did you sit next to her at the footy?
At school.
At school.
She's not that bright. We took her to the local footy once, and she looked at me and said, why are they all yelling at my name? And I said, no, they're yelling out, ball.
Not ball.
I remember we went on an excursion, to the local police station.
Yeah.
And she saw the photo, and she said, what are those photos? And the sergeant said, their photos of Broken Hill's five most wanted men.
Yeah.
She looked at me and said, well, why don't you keep me when you're taking the photos in the first place? It's not that bright, is it?
I missed that. What'd
say
she say?
Again?
She said, why don't you keep them here when you're taking your photos in the first place?
Yeah, good. Very, very good point.
See, she's not very smart, is she?
She's not that bright. She last once. Teacher said, you know, when were you born? She said, 22nd of May. And she said, and the teacher said, what year? And she said, every year.
Oh, no.
Right, I think Tex would get the message. Right, I think.
Anyway, they've done a survey.
Mm-hmm.
Five out of six people reckon that Russian roulette is safe.
Yeah, five out of six.
Thanks, Tex.
Good stats, Tex.
He's a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah, he is a Rhodes Scholar of a different type. But
it's ruined. It's
well done, Claudia Paul. Anyway, yeah.
Ruined. It's here on Triple M. All thanks to Southern Volkswagen.
Ruined. Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Yesterday morning, a woman was mauled to death in Canberra by her own pet dog. The dog had history. It had attacked her before. It had also attacked people that came onto the property. So it's a vicious dog.
What sort of dog was it?
I don't know. Like I've seen a picture of it.
Bit of a mongrel, bit of a crossbreed, bit of a bitzer, bits and pieces.
Yeah. And it just begs the question, why do people have dogs like this?
What, like super angry dogs? Yeah. And if you walk past them, they ram into the fence.
Yeah. Look, I understand security. There are some people that need their premises protected. But those absolute people that have them at home as pets, though, and, you know, there are a lot of tough guys out there that think, I have to have a tough dog.
Mm.
It's got to have a collar with bullets on it or something, or spikes or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't understand. What? Don't you buy a dog to have a family pet and a nice dog?
I don't understand why you would have a dog that you're always worried about hurting someone else. Or what if it gets out? Or what if it jumps the fence? Or what if it digs under the
fence? If I'm walking along the beach, am I concerned that it's going to attack another dog or someone else?
Wouldn't you be just paranoid to think that your dog could kill a kid or kill the neighbor's cat or hurt an old lady or do something like that? I would be worried, you know, because these days, you know, apart from all that, you're liable for all of that as well, surely.
Yeah.
I don't even know why you're allowed to keep it, let alone want to keep it.
Yeah.
Two different, very different things, isn't it?
Yep.
Why, you know, we're pretty strict on everything else that's dangerous these days.
So how crazy is it that a dog, a supposed pet dog, has killed its own owner?
Well, there's pictures of the person who died sleeping with this dog. This dog lived in the house with the lady. So obviously they've got a pretty close relationship, a bit like you and Billy. I mean, you know, the dog's in the house all the time. It's not just a outside dog that you chuck a bone out the window every now and then to keep it happy.
Mm.
Strange. I'd be furious if I lived next to a house that had a really aggressive dog.
And you've got your little kids.
And you got kids there.
Yeah, you'd be panicking. What if it broke through the fence? What if it, yeah, I mean, anything could happen.
Yeah, it's, you know, just a mistake by either you or the neighbour or the postie who has to go in or somebody drops a parcel off, leaves the front gate open. Innocent accident all of a sudden.
For sure.
There's a dog off the leash for the first time. He's going for it and he's mad.
133353, what's your opinion on this? Have you got a dog that's vicious and why have you got one? Or do you live next to someone or have you had an experience with it? Because I thought surely we buy pet dogs to have a nice family pet.
Yeah, I don't mind a big dog. And I don't even mean a dog that barks, you know. Yeah. But not a dog that munches and eats sort of goes for blood and just keeps going.
Yeah. 133353, please let us know what this is about, why you would have a dog like that.
Do we need to change the laws, Dits, do we? You reckon?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Triple M.
Anyway, let's get to our topic, Roo.
Yeah, we're talking about dogs and angry dogs. And why would you have be allowed? One? Yeah. Let's go to Allgate. G'day, Ben.
Hello, Ben.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, Ben. Good, Ben. What would you like to
say? I just wanted to talk about some dogs that are up behind my house. I live up at Allgate, up near you, Dits. And we got one of these really steep blocks, and we got the trampoline up the back. I've got five kids, and my wife never goes up the backyard because it's a bit of a hard slog to get up there. Yesterday, we had a bit of an issue with our chickens, and we were going, so my wife came up to help me out, and she was so disgusted by these dogs over the back. I think they're pit bull cross Ridgeback. They're really aggressive. They've got out before and harassed our chickens and that. Luckily, the chickens are all locked up. But now my wife doesn't want my youngest boys going up the backyard to play on the trampoline. Because, you know, when boys get on the trampoline and, you know, having some fun and laughing and that, these dogs just absolutely go off.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a really aggressive, you know, heckles, really aggressive, smashing into each other to get close to the fence.
Gee.
And, you know, my wife didn't realise how bad it was because, she, like I said, she doesn't always go up the backyard. Yeah. Now, the thing is, the owner of the dog, which I've talked to him about, as I said, they've got out before, he's a federal police officer. She's a paramedic. I've talked to her about, you know, surely she must have seen dog bite situations and that sort of thing. And what are they going to do if this dog gets out, dogs get out, and or one of my kids, and they don't seem interested at all.
And he's a federal police. I mean, he's got to be a well-respected bloke if you're in that job, don't you, Dits?
I would have thought.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's
she's
interesting.
A paramedic. Paramedics do a wonderful job. So,
I'm not dissing anyone like that. I've got friends that are in those sorts of trades, and, you know, I don't have any problem with that at all. But, you know, I've talked to this bloke before. I said, you know, why do you want to have this dog?
What's his answer?
Oh, he doesn't think that they're a problem. But, you know, anyone in their right mind, if they even just looked once at these dogs, would tell that they are extremely aggressive. And if they got through the fence, they'd try to rip your throat out.
This is exactly what we're talking about, Ben. Thanks for calling in. Why would you want those types of dogs?
I don't
get it.
I want someone who owns one of those dogs to ring in right now and tell us,
and
please.
For some reason, as what Ben was just saying then, the owners are always dismissive. They never, ever think there's a problem.
Do you think you reckon dog owners are sort of one of a kind, are they?
They are. They're a bit different.
Okay.
When it comes to their dogs, they are.
Yeah.
The dog can do no wrong, and I don't get it.
Yeah, let's go to Maryville. G'day, Matt.
Hello, boys.
Have you got an aggressive dog?
Oh, he's not aggressive. I actually had him from a pup. I gave him to my parents because I moved on to a sheep property.
Yep.
But they now have him and another one. They're both the Ridgeback Bull Mastiffs.
Yep.
And, yeah, they're really nice dogs. They sleep next to Dad every night in bed. Anyone pulls into the driveway, they run up and near lick him to death.
That's fine. That's We're not talking about a dog like that, Matt. We're talking about a dog that if someone did walk into the driveway, they'd come up and, like, really have a crack at them. You know, dogs.
That's what I was sort of getting at. What I thought about is people do call these dangerous dogs. I think the big issue is the laws are probably not the worst idea, but it's education. You got it exactly right when you said that people get aggressive dogs thinking they've got to be big and tough. If you're getting a dog for that reason, well then of course bad things are going to happen, and you really should be held accountable.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what gets me a little bit about, you know, the laws is you know, we've got really, really nice dogs and have had them, like one of them's 10 now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we lose the right to be able to have the dogs we like because of people who can't do the right thing with their dogs.
That's right.
Then that's, you know, quite a sad thing.
Yeah, it's more the training of the dog.
Yeah, what we're saying, Matt, if you've got what's perceived to be a mean breed,
yep,
that's fine if they're not mean. If you've looked after them done the right thing, we're saying that's fine. What we're talking about
because you can provoke a dog.
Like Ben's phone call's perfect. That's what we're talking about.
No, we're not against that at all. Let's go to Sandy Creek. G'day, Daniel.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Good, Daniel. Have you got an aggressive dog?
I've got what people would call an aggressive breed, but I would say no dog is born aggressive. Mm. It's a learned behaviour. You can stamp these behaviours out when they're a pup.
How would we go if we walked onto your property? Are you confident that your dog won't have a crack at us?
No worries whatsoever.
All right.
No worries at all.
Yep. And there's no issue then, is there?
Yeah, we're totally fine with all of that. Absolutely.
So you
100%.
Say no dog is born aggressive. The owners actually make it happen, do they?
Yes, I believe so. I have a pit bull at the moment. I used to have a pit bull cross Ridgeback.
Yep.
And anyone can walk onto my property. I stamp these sort of behaviours out when they're a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a lousy owner, you'll end up with a lousy dog. I've seen chihuahuas that will tend to do more damage than pit bulls and ridgebacks and these sort of dogs.
All right.
Thanks, Daniel.
Let's go to Jim at Elizabeth Vale. Hello, Jim.
How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Turn your radio down, please.
Yep.
There you go. Right, what would you like to say, Jim?
Well, me and my partner, we've got a dog. It's not considered a vicious breed, but you walk up to our fence and she goes absolutely bananas. She's a blue heel across Belgian Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's deaf, so she goes off at anyone. But if you walk in the front door, she tail wags, licks, cuddles. She's soft as anything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It all comes to, previous caller was right. It all comes down to how you raise your dog.
Yeah.
Like the vicious dogs in the past who have never bitten anyone.
Jim, what would happen if you left your front gate open and a three-year-old kid walked into the front yard?
The dog would probably sit on the front porch and think, what's the kid doing on our property? But other than that, she won't go any further than the front
All right.
porch.
Well, that's fine.
No drama.
Once
All right, that's
again,
good,
we're
Jim.
Fine with that.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Jim.
Let's go to Daniel from Campbelltown. How are you, Daniel?
Yeah, not bad yourself.
Good. What's your situation?
Me, I've got a German Shepherd that we train in protection.
Right.
And
just for the home or for a business?
For my home, for my family.
Yep. What if what happens if a three-year-old walks into your property with the front gate open?
Oh, I've got a nine-week-old at home. He's fine with him. A three-year-old, he'll lick it to death, but because they don't show a threat.
Mm.
Yep.
All right.
So I mean, look, you can't totally trust him, but he's
that's a worry.
You can't trust anything. You got to know what signs, and you can't leave a child alone with a dog like that. But,
yep.
It's about educating the people to know what to do. I mean, I wouldn't let my baby be outside with my dog on his own. I don't let him run around the house.
So then it does, and that's the question we're raising once again. Why do you have a dog like that? What's the attraction?
What's the attraction? It's protect. I know I can leave my family at home, mm-hmm. and my wife and child is safe that my dog is there.
But your
and
child's not safe if the child accidentally goes outside, just accidentally.
No, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He won't show aggression towards him.
Mm.
No, not hopefully. He's been trained. He's not just a dog that we throw in the backyard and.
Well, why don't you leave your child out with your dog then, if you know that it's going to be fine?
Well, because we're only just starting to introduce him to him. He's only 9 weeks old.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. Well, that's fair enough.
All right. Thanks, Daniel. Some good calls there.
Yeah, absolutely. We probably didn't get the.
I still don't understand. I'm slow learning.
Everyone's different, aren't they? Everyone is different.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you sleep with your dog.
Because he's beautiful and loving and it's a family pet.
There you go.
Right. And no one else will. Less than a.
Now I understand. The dog's got no choice. The dog's actually.
He's tied to the bed. Yeah, he don't get a choice. Yeah.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7.
Triple M.
Roo, we're playing 70s music and there's a reason for it tonight. The Red Hots return to the Wavell Showground like they did in the 70s. We're talking about the Trotts Harness Racing. John Lewis is the CEO of Harness Racing in SA. He joins us. John, good morning. What a very, very special night.
Yeah, good morning, Ditro. Yeah, we're very excited. So it's finally arrived. So hard to believe, but it's here and we're looking for just a magnificent night of racing.
10 to 15,000 people are expected there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Rhea. I think we spoke some months ago. So the ticket sales have been outstanding. There's been interest from across the country, believe it or not, which has been terrific. You know, both when you look at South Australian regional areas in Adelaide, but also across the country. So we've had a huge number of pre-bookings, pre-sales, and there's plenty of tickets available at the gate on the day. So, yeah, huge interest. And yeah, we're hoping for we're expecting a crowd of up to 15,000, which would be terrific.
John, when I was a kid, it was the Sydney Showground, Melbourne Showground, and the Adelaide Showground. That's where the trots were. Is this some sort of test? Do you think will we see more meetings at Wavell in the years to come?
I hope so, Dits. I mean, this is the first, and as you know, we're expecting this to be a huge success. So if it is, it'll at least be an annual event, and then, as you guys both know, who knows? You know, if the public momentum moves that quickly, you know, it could become a more regular occurrence. I think we spoke last time about it. You know, 10 years ago, they said football would never come back to Adelaide Oval.
Yeah.
And it has. So I think it's really captured everyone's imagination. It's the spiritual home of harness racing. So who knows? And, you know, if the government gets on board, as you know, anything could happen.
Is that the key? You need government support? I mean, I just can't see why you wouldn't want to do it. Why wouldn't you want to make it easier for people to go to the trots? It's so much easier to go to Wavell than it is to Globe Derby. What's the biggest hurdle to stop this from happening permanently?
Well, I think the two options, Rude, to be honest, the two options for city location would be Wavell, which the track would need to be increased in size. It's a 510-metre track, so it would need to be at least an 800-metre track, similar to Gloucester Park. Globe Derby's slightly bigger, but around the half-mile track. And so that would be the problem at Wavell, but then again, we can put man on the moon so you can increase the size of the track. The other option, I guess, long-term, would be Victoria Park with a two codes, so the two equine codes moving back there, which would also be an option. That's been spoken about, certainly in government circles. And as we see, if tonight's a major success, you know, there could be momentum. Globe Derby's the home of harness racing, but as you say, there seems, with the interest in this event, there's massive interest in seeing the trucks back in the city. And as you say, it's just a perfect location. It's so well serviced by public transport. People can go there after work.
Brilliant.
Good luck.
John, just finally, what can we expect tonight? What types of other events are you having on down there at Wavell?
Yeah, well, we've got a Retro Fashions on the field, so I'm expecting you guys to nominate that.
Beautiful.
With your Ron Burgundy suit. we've got the Pony Trots display, guys. We've got a Legend Showcase. We've got a band called The Incredibles that are doing the After Eight
Concert
in the Village Green Precinct. Yeah, they're superb. So there's plenty of non-racing entertainment on as well. As I said, tickets are available at the gates. The gates open at 4, guys. So first race, 6:16, 8-race card.
Fantastic.
We've got the best drivers in the country. So there's plenty for everyone. There's plenty of action on the track and there'll be plenty of action off the track. And look, I just wanted to thank both you guys for your support. From day one, you've really embraced it. Triple M's been terrific. And without your support, it wouldn't have the profile that it's got. So on a personal note, thanks.
Nah, John, do you know what?
We're believers.
We do. We believe in it. And I hope this takes off. I really do. I went there as a kid, John. My whole family packed up the car Friday nights. We loved it. And I hope tonight's massive for you, mate. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks again. It's thanks, Ray. All the best.
Do you want me to put a bet on for anyone, John?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be terrific, mate, if you wouldn't mind. I know you're keen on the punt, so and you know your horses, so yeah, that'd be terrific.
How much you got for me?
I think we might have $1,000.
All right, my best, and at the end of the show, I'll do some research and I'll put $1,000 on the best bet I can for charity tonight.
All right, thanks for that, John.
That'd be terrific.
Well done.
Thanks again, guys.
So there you go, a donation from Harness Racing of $1,000. We will give it to charity. All right, we'll try and make some money.
Absolutely.
Ruined it's here at Triple M.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella, they're closer than you think.